The Eurozone economies that came in from the cold.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. It takes two quarters of economic shrinkage to be called a recession, but just one quarter of growth to end one. Today, there's news the 17 countries that use the European single currency are growing after a year and a half of contraction. The collective growth rate, annualized, works out to be 0.3%. Not much, but more than expected. The BBC's Steve Evans is in Germany's capital, Berlin. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Whom do we have to thank in Europe for this statistical achievement?
I think we have to thank the people all around me. I think we have to thank the German economy, which grew faster than expected, and it's starting to pull the Eurozone out of recession. Now, unemployment remains very high in lots of places like Spain and Greece, but the growth is at last going in the right direction.
The French did pretty well. Here's a surprise, Portugal. Did you see that?
I did see that, 1.1%. Yeah, I mean, they will take that here in Germany as signs that the very bitter medicine is starting to work. Now, one quarter does not a trend make, and there may well be special factors in the case of Portugal. All the signs are that German consumers, notoriously careful with their money, are starting to be a bit freer with their money. And that, for example, has an impact on Portugal, because Germans go to Portugal for their summer holidays. So the tourist industry in Portugal is starting to take off. We're not out of the woods yet. There are crises remaining in bits of the Eurozone, but the broad picture is positive, and positive is better than negative.
After six long quarters of economic contraction in the Eurozone, the BBC's Steve Evans in Berlin. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Now let's do the numbers. The DAX index in Germany went up 0.1%, while the FT 100 in London is up just barely right now. For the U.S., Dow and S&P futures are down, but NASDAQ futures are up. Yesterday, the Dow closed up 31 points, 0.2%. The 10-year Treasury is at 2.69% this morning. And the other day, we played a tape of the AOL CEO firing one of his executives in front of practically the whole company. Tim Armstrong has now apologized, but the marketing guy for AOL's Patch local news blogs is still fired. More widespread layoffs at Patch are expected this week. It's a key week for retailers. Macy's reports profits this morning, with Walmart and Kohl's following tomorrow. The profits are for the second quarter through the end of June, but the company may offer guidance on the key back-to-school shopping period, which started very early this year. As Kate Davidson reports, retailers are borrowing a page from the end-of-year holiday shopping playbook.
Did you get the feeling school had barely ended this year when the back-to-school season began?
We started to see commercials, promotions, flyers coming out before 4th of July.
Analyst Matthew Ong with NerdWallet.com calls that the creep.
In some ways, the back-to-school creep is not totally foreign, because we saw the same creep happen with Black Friday last year into Thanksgiving.
Paul Swinand is an equity analyst with Morningstar. He expects this year to be better than the last few, not because of early deals in stores, but because of what's called the omni-channel approach.
People shopping online or on tablet or on smartphone and being offered deals that maybe aren't in the store, but maybe are a permutation of the inventory that they have in the store.
Swinand says these online strategies are starting to smooth out the choppiness of post-recession buying habits. Now just throw in a little cool weather to convince people it's fall. I'm Kate Davidson for Marketplace.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
There's news today that the chief financial officer of the global financial giant Barclays is stepping down due to health problems. Normally, we might not mention a change in the number three corporate spot, except that we happen to have an interview already about what to do when a CFO suddenly goes. Paul Oman is a partner with BOI Consulting, a firm that can get you a temp CFO quick as a trick. Mr. Oman, good morning.
Good morning.
So help me understand this. Have Excel spreadsheet will travel, a hired financial gun?
That's pretty accurate. We parachute in when a company's in turmoil or transition or just wants to really understand itself better.
It seems like a big job, though. The chief financial officer at many companies, that's her signature on the company checks, access to bank accounts. You're going to let a temp get access to that?
Well, in some cases, you don't have a whole lot of choice. In the aspect that a CFO has vacated their position, you've got to do something, and fast. Part of our approach includes keeping the appropriate checks and balances. We've been in situations where the prior CFO has left because there has been some sort of misappropriation of funds or, you know, we say the four-letter word of fraud. And we've been able to come into those situations and help them to put the proper controls in place so that no one person can cause detrimental harm to the company.
Now, if a CEO, chief executive officer, goes away suddenly, companies often pick a deputy or maybe a board member to step in. Why not do that with the chief financial officer?
And sometimes that's a viable solution. A lot of times, though, with the CFO position, it's pretty technical. You've got several different types of CFOs, your strategic guys or your technical accounting guys or your fundraising guys. We can provide people to fit that exact niche that you're looking for so you don't have to rely on that secondary guy who might not quite be there yet.
So I'm getting a sense from you that you haven't lived a full life running a business till the moment you wake up one morning without a chief financial officer. I mean, that is a headache.
It is. The world out there needs to know that somebody is there with a plan and that somebody, especially controlling the money, has got the ability to keep an even keel and a line on steady growth.
Paul Oman is at the Texas-based BOI Consulting. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And when he referred to fraud as a four-letter word a few moments ago, were you sitting in your car counting the five letters on your fingers? Admit it. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.